The views and opinions expressed by guests on the TWBC podcast are solely those of the guest and do not necessarily reflect the views of nor constitute an endorsement by the host, TWBC, or the advertisers.
National championships, confederation championships, world championships, major professional events. For over three decades, he has been there for many of the sport's greatest moments. And now he brings you even closer to the movers and shakers in the world of high echelon tournament water skiing. From the founder and creator of the Water Ski Broadcasting Company comes the TWBC Podcast. And now here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
And yes, that is the aforementioned me, Tony Lightfoot, here for the TWBC podcast. This is the next episode. Good to have you on board. And great to have a real special guest join in on this particular episode. He is the man, the myth, the legend himself, Mr. Chris Parrish. How are you doing?
I am doing great. Even after a long flight today, I feel awesome. Just took a ski ride, so I'm awake now.
Good, good.
And so excited to be back. I did not make last year because I had COVID.
Okay.
So
you actually had COVID?
I did.
Wow.
And here I am.
Okay. So, over the last few years, you've been skiing professionally since what, like the mid-90s, early mid-90s?
Exactly.
Okay. Yep. So you've been in this game for a while. And I kind of get the sense that over the last few years, you've taken a more relaxed stance, been going into pro events and stuff like that, and your approaches into practice tend to be a little bit more lighthearted than they were way back in the day. Was there a kind of an epiphany one day that you said to yourself, you know, I just got to take a step back here from all the seriousness and just enjoy more about what I'm doing out there?
Yeah, it's actually a great question, and the answer is definitely yes. And you know, we all have mentors in life and big brothers and good friends, and one of my really big brothers is Wade Cox, and we actually had a really long discussion about this, and you know, we kind of both just agreed and talked about, you know, keeping it simple, having fun, and not trying to go out there and win a tournament. You know, I'm in a different time in my career right now where I've done so much and I'm happy. I'm at peace with what I achieved, and definitely a lot more lighter approach for sure.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, it was years and years ago. I go back to the days where I was announcing the Pro Tour, and you were like the young buck coming through and pointing out some great scores, and you know, and placing high on these Pro Tour stops, you know. But you kind of just had that steely focus, you know. I mean, you were having fun, but you were very much within this tight cocoon, this yep. ball, you know. And Lord knows that. God forgive anyone that got within that bubble, you know, because they were in for a time and a half.
Yeah, I totally hear you too, and it's really interesting too how you get older in life. It's like the little things that you really appreciate, you know, like family time and being with your parents or your friends and doing other things. It's like it's now skiing's not everything, you know, and I'm really at peace with that.
Okay, and so and with that piece, it seems to be more consistent performances from you. I mean, I just saw you go out there and just like run back to back 39s. I think wasn't that back to 39s or yeah. an attempt at 41? You know, and those look like relatively straightforward kind of stuff. I mean, is that kind of technique and that kind of approach to it something that you actively work on, or is it something that's a byproduct of your new, more mellow attitude to the sport?
No, I've actually been, you know, I ski with Will Asher and John Travers quite a bit, and I've definitely been working on my technique this year a lot, just put myself in the right body position in certain places, and I'm loving my new ski this year. I mean, that's kind of given me some confidence, and I've just been putting the time in with my training, and I got some great training partners as well. And yeah, I Thank you for the nice compliment, Tony. I've been feeling pretty good.
Not a problem, not a problem at all. And the ski to which you are referring to is the Omega Max, isn't it?
Yes.
From Syndicate. And, I mean, you're in your 40s, I mean, and you're in an age where, I mean, meaning any sport, I mean, once you get to a certain point, the calls from potential sponsors and potential supporters, you know, aren't coming to you as often as they should. But it seems that Dave Wingerter and co and the good people that train under the Syndicate banner, you know, are actively seeking you to contribute to the team and to see greater performances from yourself.
Yeah, 100%. They are in my corner big time, and they've had my back, and I love being a part of the brand, and I've had a blast, you know, doing a lot of R&D for the Omega Max the last couple years, and it's been awesome.
So who does that ski actually suit? I mean, obviously it suits you right down to the ground, because you had a contributing factor into its design. But when it goes out into the marketplace and you see them populating the shelves in pro shops and that kind of stuff, like, I don't know, like Bennett's Boat and Ski or Performance Ski and Surf and all those places, what kind of skier would reach for that ski and say, okay, this is the one for me?
Yeah, so the Omega Max is made, so it's a high riding ski. It's a high rided ski, but it actually feels deep in the water. It's a wide ski. I mean, the widest point on that ski is 7 inches.
Wow.
It's got the bevel design. It's not a deep concave. So it's really made for, I would say, the big dog guys, the high end skiers that ski, you know, under 36, and then maybe some of the big 36 guys like myself.
Okay. So the bigger you are or the slower speed you go, this ski is the one for them.
Yeah, we want to design a ski that's efficient with ZO. I mean, that was kind of the real platform is...
And ZO is zero base scoring?
No, zero off.
Zero off, yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that was kind of the goal is like, to, you know, the way that system reacts, we got to have a ski that's super balanced, turns hard, but not turning hard deep in the water to create load early. It's to be really efficient and light. And I love that ski. I mean, it's this year it surprised me on how well it's been feeling.
So it's kind of safe to say it's kind of rejuvenated you to a certain extent.
100%.
All right. So you mentioned family. Your mother, Debbie,
yeah,
Parrish, has been,
yep,
an integral part of your development, and Mike Parrish,
yep,
who formerly worked for NASA, and you know, I mean we had between yourself, I mean, we had conversations about airplanes and aerospace and all that kind of stuff, you know, so I mean, but he probably more than anyone else probably contributed the most towards your development,
yep,
as an athlete on the water. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, my dad and I were best friends, and we still ski a lot together. And he was definitely the huge contributor and part of, you know, building that foundation and all that time that we spent together, you know, since I was a little kid.
And I mean, we mentioned briefly about his career in NASA just a few moments ago. How many opportunities? How much of an opportunity did you get to see, like, under the surface about what goes on with the shuttle program and all of that?
I've been very blessed and lucky. A lot of astronauts actually do water ski, so they do come to the house. And then with my dad being a supervisor for the Endeavour, I got to go out there on the last launch to the launch pad.
Uh-huh.
You know, basically be under the space shuttle.
Wow.
Before it took off. Got to go up to the top. Didn't go too far inside, but to be a part of that little small group to see the space shuttle on the launch pad was incredible.
Well, I bet, you know, I mean, it's just one of those once-in-a-lifetime experiences, you know. I mean, I kind of wish I had that opportunity. I even wished I would have gone on Concorde. Wished I would have gone on a 747, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those moments that you kind of got to grasp. But anyways.
Well, Tony, on that note, too, I'd like to get you out to my parents' house because my dad has a NASA room.
Wow.
I didn't get to tell you about earlier, and it is really, really cool. We've got everything from patches, signed patches, photos from space that have been taken, just different pieces of like space shuttle tile and all kinds of really cool stuff. I think you'd really like it.
Yeah, I'll definitely section off some time before the start of next season, certainly, or maybe towards the end of this season, because coming up is the World Championships, which brings me to my next question. Now, you and the World Championships at the elite level, not the easiest of histories to talk about.
No. And the very first one did not start off well. I had my my handle disqualified in Colombia because of the bar. The triangle was too big. So I guess the actual triangle was, I guess they said.
So that was 1997.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was in Medellin, Colombia. So, and then you got disqualified for that. Then what happened with the subsequent World Championships after 97? 99 was in Milano.
Yep.
Okay, so what happened there?
I broke the World Championship record. I was top seed in the finals, and I got second.
Okay.
So that wasn't too bad.
You got a medal out of that. Yeah, sure.
So that was good.
So that must have boosted your confidence going into the 2001 season, which was supposed to be in Spain but moved to Richetto.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened there?
So was that the one with the stadium, right?
No. One with the stadium was 1999. It's the one that Christy Overton-Johnson won.
Okay.
But the one afterwards was at the Italian National Water Ski Training Center in Richetto.
Okay. So the one that had the stadium?
Yeah.
I had my gates pulled at 35.
Ugh.
And it was Mike Morgan's last time on the U.S. team. We both had our gates pulled. That was that one.
Wow.
But Richetto is the one actually where I did really well.
Okay, so that's 2001. Mm-hmm. So you got second there. Now, 2003, Swiss.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened there?
You know, that was the one that everybody was having so much trouble on the starts at 41. I mean, even Mapple did. Remember that?
Yeah, I think I did, yeah.
And I remember, like, Jamie going toward that dock. He got, like, lean lock. And then I crashed terribly out of one ball going to two ball at 41. And then it just took what did Jeff get, Tony, to win?
I think, I don't know whether he got halfway down 41, but I mean, like, Jeff Rogers was only just persuaded to go in those championships just barely days before it started.
Yep.
You know, and that was probably one of the better decisions he's ever made in his career. Mm-hmm. So I mean, that was my enduring memory of that one. Now, what about China?
Oh, disaster. Jamie went right before me. He totally bombed. And I went right after him, completely bombed. And that was 05, right?
Yeah, that was 05.
And that was actually my best season ever. I'd won the most majors. I broke two world records that year.
Wow.
It's just, I don't know what it is. The Worlds has not been really, you know, in my favor too much for the World Championships.
Yeah, I hate to even mention this. The most enduring memory of the World Championships in respect to you was 2013,
mm-hmm.
where you were coming back at, what was it, 38 off or something like that, and you blew the tail.
Yep.
on three ball. You needed at least four to make it through, and you blew the tail.
Was that Chile?
That was Chile.
Oh,
yeah.
It was horrible. I know. I was skiing on Maple skis, and I remember, like, seeing how bummed Andy was and Dina, and I was like, oh, I just felt terrible. I skied so bad, and I was bummed.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I mean, you've skied in how many world championships now? Since, what was it? Colombia 1997. So, I mean, you've skied in a fair few of them now. So, mm-hmm. All right. So, we're in the world championship year, 2021. I mean, it's going to be challenging. I mean, it's going to be challenging for a lot of people just to make it. But
I agree.
Is there anything in your mind that would suggest that the World Championships this time around is going to work out differently?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think, number one, it's kind of, I ski there a lot.
Uh-huh. With Team Syndicate, of course.
With Team Syndicate, yeah. And I as of right now, as we speak, I'm confident, and I feel my skiing progressing, you know, each week. And I agree with you. I think the scores are going to be, if the conditions are good, I think the scores will be off the charts this year, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, that's a man-made facility. I mean, everything about that is, I mean, is going to be absolutely tip-top.
Yes.
Certainly. I'm just trying to think of the next potential question on here, you know, because, I mean, you've skied in all these world championships. You've been disappointed on a number of occasions. You've probably got one or two medals out of that deal. And I basically ask you if it's going to be different. And, I mean, you gave the answer to that question. But, you know, does that come in time in your mind where you, like, say, okay, well, the world championships just ain't for me. I mean, mm-hmm. and just decide come October, November, you know, let the young guys have their fun, you know, and I'll just stick around and watch them duke it out.
Yeah, I mean, I've had those feelings. Definitely right now, the way my season's going and how I'm feeling and some personal goals that I'm setting. I mean, I would love to go to the Worlds and have a great prelim and a great final, you know. I'm not saying go out there and go try to win the thing. I mean, that would be absolutely amazing, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
But I do want to go there and ski well.
Yeah, there wouldn't be a dry eye in the house, I will tell you, if you come through and play and placed in the top three, I'll tell you.
That'd be great.
Yeah, certainly would be. So, other goals that you have in life, I mean, obviously you've had your highs, had your lows, you've broken world records, you've done pretty much everything, almost everything within the sport. But what goals do you seek beyond the realm of water skiing that you want to try? Is there anything you've wanted to try, like skydiving or anything like that?
Actually, yes, I'd love to go skydiving. That's actually on my bucket list.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say, you know, possibly career-wise, I'd like to go back to it again and try it again is to be in the real estate business. You know, my mom's been a lakefront specialist for, what, 30 years now?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would be a great, you know, avenue for me.
Yeah.
Because there's so many skiers that want to buy houses.
Buy homes, yeah, absolutely.
So that's a possibility. And that's all I know right now.
Okay. Well, that's good. Well, we'll round off the interview right here. You've got goals, you've got ambitions and stuff like that going forwards. And I'd certainly appreciate your candor in answering some of those somewhat difficult questions going down memory lane. But, you know, I asked you a question in regards to your family and obviously very, very instrumental in them being involved in your career. But what about some of the other folks that you want to possibly give thanks to, you know?
Oh, for sure. I mean, definitely my wife, Kayla. She has been in my corner, a supporter before we even married. I mean, she's been by my side and been just such an awesome wife and person. I love being with her, and we have our own little world together. She's not an athlete. We just have our own little cool little deal going on.
Mm-hmm.
I just got some good friends in my circle, and they know who they are, and I really appreciate them. And I have a few personal sponsors as well that help support me along the way, because like you said earlier, you know, at my age right now, I don't have those huge sponsors that I used to have, and I'm fine with that, and I'm at peace with that, and I understand it's a business, and that's fine, and life is good.
Excellent stuff. Well, you've been listening to Chris Parrish. My name is Tony Lightfoot. This has been the latest episode of the TWBC podcast, and until next time, I will say ciao for now. Say goodbye to good folks.
Thank you, Tony.
All right.
Listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.